Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
When I feel afraid, I will say to the Lord, Lord, I don't even have the want to right now. I don't want to be a better mother. I don't want to be a better wife. I don't want to be more involved in the lives of my kids. I want to run away. I want to do my own thing. I want to pursue a different path. But you know in your heart that God's saying, this is what I've given you to do right now. These beautiful children that really belong to me.
What an incredibly vulnerable statement by Heidi St. John, the homeschool mother of seven children and our guest today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, it's that kind of vulnerability that has truly endeared Heidi St. John to millions of moms across the country. She's written several books, including Becoming Mom Strong, Prayers for the Battlefield, and Bible Promises for Moms. In addition, over 1 million people listen to her Off the Bench podcast each and every month. But it's her willingness to be real, to share her struggles, that resonates so deeply with other Christian mothers. When a mom feels burdened by her brokenness, her scars, and even the feeling that there's a sense of inadequacy, Heidi St. John reminds us that God's strength is made perfect in human weakness. Indeed, she urges women to find other Christian moms with whom they can be vulnerable because, you know, the enemy loves an isolated target. Here now is part two of the conversation featuring our own Dr. Tim Clinton and Heidi St. John here on Family Talk.
Heidi, welcome back. Great to have you to speak again. A word of hope and encouragement to moms out there everywhere. What a delightful conversation we had yesterday. Heidi, I was asking some people about you and why it seems like this Mom Strong International voice that you have is exploding the way it is. And, you know, one of the comments that came back to me was because you're so vulnerable. You're so real with moms. They need that kind of conversation. That's what they want.
Well, I think I grew up at least in a generation where I was told you don't air your dirty laundry. You know, mm-hmm. I remember my grandparents actually, who I loved very much. When we were having really serious issues inside of our home, my grandparents were like, you need anything at all, you talk to us. And it hurt me. Like in the long run, it really hurt me. And I feel like there's a beautiful thing that happens when we all just say, I don't actually have it all together. You know, a long time ago when I started blogging, I remember I would be on Facebook years ago before Facebook started censoring people and when it was actually still fun. I said, hey, my husband's coming home from work and he's telling me he's bringing the boss. And what should I make for dinner? And so they told me, you know, hey, do this. So I get this recipe together. I put it in my crock pot. Like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think my house should be smelling like chicken enchiladas, and it doesn't. And so I got on the Facebook page and I was like, you guys, here's the thing. I forgot to plug in my crock pot. So what can I make for dinner out of one can of olives and some tuna fish? And like 1,000 people liked it. And I realized something at that moment. I told my husband later in the day, I said, I think I'm figuring out how to really connect with these women. They're not interested in hearing me say I have it all together. They don't care when I say, hey, this went really well for me and here's a new laundry organizing plan and we're homeschooling our kids and we had a great day today. No, they resonate with me when I say that I failed and we all struggle. And when you can be real enough to say, I'm struggling with this, this is hard on me, I don't have this all together, I'm not sure where to go, women will come alongside and say, oh, well, what about this? And I tried that. But when you start acting like you're all that, basically, what you've just done is shut down conversation. And I'm a huge fan of being real, and audiences all over the world for the last 15 years heard me. Pretty much, you know, there's nothing about Heidi St. John that you probably don't know, actually, if you just search the internet.
Heidi, yesterday we touched on the issue of being tired, maybe feeling inadequate. And a word that was kind of a theme was anxious. A lot of people want to have those conversations because there's no one really to talk to. They need somebody to address this because it is so challenging. It's overwhelming. And at the end of the day, everybody wants to do a good job. And they want to know that everything's going to be okay for their kids.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important, you know, that you find your people. There's a lot of anxious things happening in the world around us right now, right? All you got to do is turn on the news. Or actually, for the love, just don't turn on the news. How about we all just stop doing that? One of the things that I have been encouraging women to do for a very long time is to find your people. You got to find your people. And these are the people that you can be real with. These are the people you can cry with. This is the mom who, you know, a long time ago when I first started homeschooling, I called my own mom one morning and I said, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm watching all the other moms in my cul-de-sac and they're going to, you know, I saw, you know, they're putting their kids on the school bus and that girl's in her workout clothes. And I saw another girl with her refillable Starbucks mug. And I just know that she's going to go get a cup of coffee by herself. And I can't even get a shower in relative peace. And my mom said, do what normal people do and put your kids back in school and you can get your life back. And I knew at that moment she was not my person for that particular calling on my life. I knew I needed a mom that I could call and cry and say, this is really hard. And she wouldn't encourage me to quit. But she might say, sounds like you need a mocha with extra whip. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Right. And when you find your tribe, when you find your people and you can be vulnerable with them, and when you know, the culture tells you when it's hard, give up. Right. This is what we see in marriage. This is what we see in parenting. And we've learned over time, Tim, you and I, for years and years of just walking this thing out, that if it's worth it, it's going to be hard and it's going to have its challenges. And there's something to be said for perseverance. I always tell moms, you know, perseverance is patience in action. And some of the moms listening to this right now, maybe the approach that you're coming in on the wrong runway. You know, maybe you need to switch to the other runway and give it another shot.
My daughter Megan walked up to the podium at a woman's conference my wife Julie was leading. And we introduced Olivia, our granddaughter, Papa Girl Olivia. And Megan said, I'd love to tell you that I'd have her sing Jesus Loves Me, but I'm sure she'd probably go ahead and sing Let It Go or something like that. And the place went crazy. Megan's also the one who comes back and says, hey, Dad, do you have a good resource that I can go to? I don't have the time to go into an in-depth, heavy, forever Bible study, but I'd love a resource just that I could just tap into to encourage me. Heidi, you have a brand new book out called Bible Promises for Moms. What I loved about it, topics that moms struggle with every day. Tell us what's behind it and what you hope to accomplish in her heart.
These are little pocketbooks. The reason I did it was basically because I had an episode in Walmart several years ago. It was a long time ago now, but one of my kids was throwing a fit. I'm sure no one can relate to that. One of the kids throwing a fit in the store. I was like, sit down. And she was like, if I looked at this kid and I said, sit down, she stood up. If I said it was green, she said it was blue. And here I'm thinking I was a pretty good mom up until that point. Right. I was thinking, you know, I'd see other moms and their kids would throw fits in the store. And I'd be like, I have a parenting book that you should read. That was my, you know, that was Heidi in her like post fifth child life. And I had wished that there had been a mother and come up to me and said, you know what, you're actually doing okay. You're doing okay. You're going to be okay. So Bible Promises for Mom is a very small book. It's a pocket size book. It's only like $3. I mean, you have probably the book in front of you. I don't, but I think it's like $2.99. It's super inexpensive. The reason that we did it that way is because I told moms, buy 5 of these. And when you see a mom and she's at her wit's end and it looks like she can't do this anymore, just walk up, give it to her, say, you are doing a great job and you are loved and you're going to be okay and your kid's going to be okay, and just hand it to her. And maybe you hand it to her with a $5, you know, gift card for your favorite coffee shop in the area or whatever it is. Women all over the world have been doing that with that book. And it's really fun to watch. I hear stories all the time. You know, one lady told me that she saw somebody in line at the airport whose kids were throwing a fit and she was getting ready to get on a cross-country flight. And I was like, oh, that's the worst. And this mom just walked right up to her and said, I got something for you. And by the way, you're doing a great job. And she said, she just started crying. Why can't we just encourage each other? Why can't we just say, wow, that looks rough. You look like you need a mocha right now. Stat, I'm gonna be right back. You know, so I feel like there's a lot of hope and encouragement that can be found when moms link arms. And Bible Promises for Moms, that's exactly what it does. 80 topics on everything from adoption to abortion to marriage, all kinds of topics. And there are some devotions from me sprinkled in and throughout it too, but it's just a great little book.
You're listening to Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host. Our special guest today is Heidi St. John. She's a best-selling author, speaker, noted homeschool mother with a passion to affirm and empower moms in the Lord. It's been a delightful conversation. Heidi, I want to come back to this topic on Bible Promises for Moms. Heidi, yesterday we touched on this, and we know that it's a challenge to be a mom. We know that it's tough just being a Christian in this world, and there's a lot of brokenness. Some of us have come through some pretty difficult, painful pasts and more, and we often pass on our pain. We love to think our kids are immune to what we're going through, but nothing could be further from the truth, Heidi. And so stepping up and acknowledging what's going on inside of me so that I don't spill this over into my kids is really important. It's really an important gift, I'll call it, because our kids adjust to us. Our kids absorb us. This isn't about piling on guilt or shame or anything like that. This is a word of encouragement to get strong and be healthy. And like you said, find your tribe and make sure you're working out these issues. And no one's going to be perfect, but how we deal with and work through these issues, it's everything in our little family.
Well, and just keeping your eye on the horizon. You know, anybody that's read Becoming Mom Strong or followed my speaking career for any length of time knows that I grew up in a very unhappy home that was filled with domestic violence. And it took me a long time to work through forgiveness. And sometimes when you extend forgiveness, it's realizing that you're forgiving a person for an apology that you so desperately want, but you're probably never going to get. And I knew that my dad was, things that happened to him, he passed on to me. And I did not want to pass those on to my own children. And I can remember very clearly when my daughter was pregnant with her first. So Noah would be eight, so it's 8 years ago when she was pregnant with her first child. Just flashing back to being pregnant with her and sitting in the, you know, the classes that you go to, the ones where they lie to you and tell you if you breathe a certain way, everything's going to be just fine. Those classes, right? And I was sitting there and at the end of the class, I just started crying and I said, I can't do this. I don't know anything about motherhood. My mom's unhappy. I think she didn't love being a mother. And Nola looked at me and she said, Heidi, you don't know who you are. She said, God's starting all over again. He's going to do something. You don't know who you are in Christ. She prayed over me, put her hands on my belly. And Savannah was born about a week and a half later. And so now fast forward, Savannah's in her 20s and she's going to have her first baby. And the Lord told me, your grandkids are going to live to see this generational sin in your family broken.
Wow.
And I used to teach childbirth education classes too, because, you know, why not pass on the trauma to somebody else? So Savannah's in my bedroom and we hadn't yet heard her baby's heartbeat. And I had a Doppler at the house and I said, let's see if we can find your baby's heartbeat. So we waited and waited and searched and searched. And you know how it is when you hear that very, very first heartbeat. And there's Savannah just lying on the bed in my bedroom with me. And as soon as I heard it, just tears streaming down my face. And the Lord's promise came true to me. He said, I would live to see the next generation set free. And that's God's promise. That's what God does. It's his heart. And that's how he loves us. And Savannah and her children, my children and Savannah's children now, will not know that kind of pain. They'll know their own kind of pain. They're going to go through their own struggles in this world. But the Lord promised me, Heidi, if you'll hang in there with me, you're going to live to see me do the miraculous. And he used motherhood in my life to say, you know what? You can walk in forgiveness and then you'll find freedom. And moms need to hear that. There are a lot of moms that come into motherhood right now that didn't see it modeled well for them. Or maybe like me, they came from a home that was filled with domestic violence. Or maybe they just had parents that were just checked out completely, right? Get off of Facebook and get into the lives of your children. They need you. And more than that, God is going to do something if you'll let him. If you'll say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you, my brokenness, my scars, my baggage, all of it, my inadequacies, every single piece of it, he will restore tenfold. And I have absolutely seen this now as my children are starting to have children of their own. God is faithful and moms need to know it, because when the going gets tough and you feel like, I just can't do this anymore, keep your eyes on the horizon. God is still at work.
You know, Heidi, I believe this. I believe every mom listening, every dad listening knows whether or not you're close with your son or daughter. Mm. Right now, you say their name. I'll say Megan. Mm-hmm. I'll say Zach. I know whether or not I'm close with Zach right now. And Heidi, there's something wired deep down inside of us that calls us to that level of emotional connection. Mm. But there are a lot of barriers, like you were just referencing. Could be trauma, could be a struggle in a marriage, could be maybe a battle with depression. There's so many things that work against our affection, mm-hmm. our love for one another. You found your way here. I want you to stay with this for a moment and speak to mom. speak to her right now. She feels lost. She feels disconnected. But she's frantic because she wants to be a good mother. She wants to create a safe place where she can engage and her kids can flourish and grow. It doesn't have to be perfect, Heidi, but it's got to be something. And we got to start somewhere.
Well, I think you start with what we talked about yesterday, right? Which is, unless and until we can acknowledge where we're at. I mean, that was the beginning for me, was just acknowledging, wow, I'm a mess. I feel like I'm failing at this thing. And then recognizing that God said in his word that he would work in that weakness. The weakness is not the problem. Coming from a place of brokenness. I talked to a mom the other day. I was speaking at a conference and she came right up to me and she said, I don't like my two-year-old. I don't want to be a mother of, she said, I don't want to not like her. I said, it's actually pretty normal to not like your kid every once in a while. Do you think that she likes you all the time? No. I mean, my kids were not like that with me, right? I said, that's not the point. The point is to, you want, what I often will pray for when I'm in moments of weakness and my husband and I doing right now, just stepping out into some very unknown waters in our own lives. And when I feel afraid, I will say to the Lord, Lord, I don't even have the want to right now. I don't want to be a better mother. I don't want to be a better wife. I don't want to be more involved in the lives of my kids. I want to run away. I want to do my own thing. I want to pursue a different path. But you know in your heart that God's saying, this is what I've given you to do right now. These beautiful children that really belong to me, and I've given them to you for a little while. And so I think you got to start with the want to. Lord, give me a want to. Lord, please, I don't know how to do this. Please help me want to do it right. I think it starts there. For me, that's where the healing began. And then realizing, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you for the want to. And until I feel the want to, I'm going to do it because you said to do it. It's being honest with what's going on inside you. Find somebody that you can be honest with that's gonna be that person, that sounding board. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's somebody from church. If you don't have someone, can I just encourage you? That might be something to pray for right away. You guys, this thing, the COVID situation that we're in has isolated people, and it has been devastating to relationships within families and within communities. And I'm watching the adversary just have a heyday. And I'm like, hey, I just say in the name of Jesus, we're not doing that. We're going to walk in right relationship with each other because moms need other moms. And bad days don't make bad moms. But the adversary wants you to think that it does. And so to come back to the beginning and say, Lord, you gave me these children, and I may not always feel like I'm doing it right, and probably I'm not. There's going to be days when I'm absolutely doing it wrong. Help me get up again and not give up. Anybody can start, but it takes a woman who's committed and full of perseverance and love for her children to finish well. And that's what we want, right? We want to finish well.
And there's nothing like the love of a mother. Mm. Heidi, my last conversation with my mom, she's in Altoona, Pennsylvania at the hospital, had suffered a massive heart attack. Very concerned about her. They had her on blood thinners. She was struggling with her eyesight because she was going blind. They wanted to back off on the blood thinner a little bit, you know, so it didn't make her eyes so bad. And they did. And she had a catastrophic stroke right after that. But the final moments, I was the last one with her. Mm. And I remember just having a brief conversation. She had some very personal words for me. I had no idea it was the last conversation. I remember kissing my mother and walking away, and I turned to look back at her, and she said, I love you, son. Mm. And I walked out of the room. I said, I love you, Mom. Mm. The prayers of a godly, loving mother, there's no substitute for that.
No.
And to all the moms out there, we celebrate you. And it's such a delight to have this conversation with you, Heidi, to learn more about your amazing ministry, the voice that God's given to you. Heidi, before you go, I've got to bring up something. We're flat out fighting time, but something big has happened in your life that we've got to talk about just for a moment. You know, Dr. Dobson, Franklin Graham, and some others have been pushing a long time for Christians and conservatives to step up into the ring and run for office in their states. Heidi? Yep. Evidently, God has called you because you've made a decision to run for Congress in your home state of Washington. Tell us a little bit about that and what that means on the road forward.
It's a huge change for our family. It's a long story as to how we came to this decision as a family. We did not come to it lightly. All of our kids were in agreement. My husband, obviously, in agreement. So it was a month's worth of crying, literally, and agonizing, and a Jonah thing. Because I was like, oh no, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm not going over there, you know. And I've been telling women and men for a long, long time. My podcast is called Get Off the Bench. God calls Christians into every sphere of influence. We need to be in medicine. We need to be in education. We need to be in entertainment. And yes, we need to be in politics. And forever and ever, amen. The church has been telling Christians, oh no, we don't do politics, except for politics determines policy. And in Washington State, in many, many other places of the country, are languishing under bad policy. And Christians have just relegated this. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be both salt and light. And when we realized that there was possibly an opportunity, I started getting phone calls. And some kind of miraculous things happened. And so my husband and I began to pray about it. And I announced that I would be running for Congress on the last day of a women's conference that I was speaking at, where I was telling those women, you guys get off the bench and onto the battlefield. I had printed out a list of, I think, 30 openings that were coming up in our area, everything to city council, to the library board. You wonder why we have drag queens in our libraries? Because the library boards are allowing it. Why are Christians not on library boards? Why are we not on the boards of the parks and rec in our areas? Christians need to be in those places. And so we had about 30 positions. I passed it out to the women, maybe 250 women there. And toward the end of that session, of that day, I said, you guys, I really want to talk to you. Put your phones in the middle of the table so I can tell that you're not recording me anymore. Put your hands in the air like you don't care. Like, do the little dance for me. And I said, I've decided to practice what I preach. And about the same time I said that, oh my goodness, I couldn't even believe I was doing it. Standing ovation, 250 women on their feet saying, we're going to help you. That's what needs to happen. The reason that people don't run for office, and frankly, the reason it took me so long, is I know what I'm up against. We have counted the cost. The political conversation in this country is toxic, and we're not talking about ideas anymore. We're just demonizing people. So if we disagree, we go from disagreement to demonization very, very quickly. I would ask for prayers for everyone who's listening to this. I've never run for office in my life. You guys, I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, Lord, why me? And the Lord was like, why not you? We are living in an Esther moment, and there needs to be men and women of courage stepping up and saying, I'm willing to be called in to the presence of the King and say, Lord, I'm going to walk in obedience to you. And really, that's what this is about. I'm hoping that my run for Washington's 3rd Congressional District is going to embolden and encourage other Christians to run for office, whether it's the Senate or the Congress. We live in a very unique country in the republic that we have here that was really designed for the citizens to participate in. And when ordinary citizens don't participate, you get lifelong career politicians who now we refer to as the elite, right? Who end up acting more like kings and dictators. They're not listening to the people anymore. And so I'm going to learn a lot. We would covet your prayers. We know what we're up against, and we're already feeling it in a very acute way. And so we're hoping that God's people will rally behind us, and we'll see what God does.
Heidi, it's been an amazing two-day series with you talking about moms. And on behalf of Dr. Dobson, his wife Shirley, their family, and the entire Family Talk team here, we salute you and know of our prayers on the road forward. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Heidi St. John here on Family Talk, author of the book Bible Promises for Mom. I'm Roger Marsh, and as we close, what an encouragement for weary moms to hear from a mother of seven children that God is indeed faithful. When the going gets tough and you feel like you just can't do this mom thing anymore, keep your eyes on the horizon. God is still at work. And don't forget to check out Heidi's pocket-sized 100-page book entitled Bible Promises for Moms. It offers scriptural counsel on 80 alphabetical topics for moms, ranging from depression to discipline to wisdom and worry. To learn more about Heidi St. John or to hear any portion of the broadcast you might have missed either on today's program or yesterday's broadcast, please visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. There is so much information waiting for you on the broadcast page. You're definitely going to want to check it out. Now, here at Family Talk, of course, we know that parenting is not an easy task. That's why we have dedicated the entire month of March to providing moms and dads resources for their journey with their kids. And one of those resources is a classic from Dr. Dobson and his wife, Shirley. It's the daily devotional called Nightlight for Parents. It's filled with encouraging insights and spiritual wisdom. And I'm sure the Dobsons applied some of those practices when they were raising their own two kids. Now, the book offers heartwarming stories and timeless biblical truth, along with practical parenting advice. And I'll tell you what, for a donation of $20 or more to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we'll send you a copy of the book, Nightlight for Parents. It's our way of thanking you for that gift. So go to drjamesdobson.org/Nightlight for Parents to get your copy today. That's drjamesdobson.org/Nightlight for Parents. For all of us here at Family Talk and the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for making us a part of your day. And be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson inviting you to join us for our next edition of Family Talk. Every day, we come to these microphones with someone in mind, whether it's a busy mom looking for tips on discipline or a husband who wants to learn more about connecting with his wife. We want to put an arm around your family in any way that we can. So join us next time for Family Talk, won't you?